This is larger. This is 40 or 50 million total. Some of them are 5 million. But they scattered all over the United States. Now, the building people tell me, and our staff tell me, that they'd like to help Philadelphia, that they are good fellows. Barefoot's very strong for him and says they work with him and so forth. And we'd like to do it. But when we do that, then Boston comes in, or Johnson's...
I waive Boston.
Wait a minute. Johnson... Yeah, but you and all of Johnson City comes in, and those fellows, we've broken the line and opened the gate, and out she comes. And that's what gets us so damn much trouble. Now, I will ask the staff people handle this to get with Barefoot and arrange to talk to those fellows, and then I'll see them right after they talk to them. I've gone into it. I had the budget director over a few weeks ago, and he specifically pointed this up and wrote me a 2-page note on it in response to Barefoot's request. Barefoot's been trying to help them, but I think he's about convinced, as all of us are, that we release several hundred million when we release this one. Because this is just the first one, you see.
And I just know what a visit there might, you might be able, something might come out which will give them some relief.
Well, we only hope we can have is when we get out from under the ceiling where we can release all these projects that we've impounded.
You might say that, of course, I'm going to get a hold of George Mahon and Evans. Put the old Camaldo on them.
you do that, and if Congress would do it, I would try to live with it some way, because I like them, and I want to do anything you want me to do. You tell them to get with Barefoot, and Barefoot will get them with two staff men that have studied this thing and tell them what a problem we have. Then we'll see if there's any way in the world we can work out of it.
Well, I think, would you mind if
you talk to Mahon, and talk to Joe.
If I could make an appointment for them with you.
Yeah.
You see, they've talked with Barefoot. Of course, Barefoot is I'm glad you appointed him. He deserves it.
Yeah.
I hope he's confirmed. Looks bad over there in the Senate, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Very bad.
Yeah.
And it's all wrapped up with this.
Oh, sure. I know it. I knew it over 2 weeks ago when we had a meeting with Maxfield.
Yeah.
What was said, you know.
Yeah.
When they tell me that there's 25 Republicans won't vote for it and 20-odd Democrats to cloture, I don't need to know anymore.
Yeah, that's right. You tell them that just to talk to Barefoot, and he'll get the appointment for the people and for me. I'll see them right after they see the other people. He can bring them to the White House, and we'll make the staff people come over and meet them at his office. He can talk to them, and then he can bring them down and see me.
Tell me, as a quickie, what you think of last night? Anything you want to tell me?
No, it's how you interpret it, Mr. Speaker. We don't want to get in any argument on it.
Go ahead.
If he means that as a condition to stopping the bombing next January, they'd have to reinstitute the DMZ, then that's our position. He says that that's what he means. His speech really doesn't quite say it. It says that before taking action, he would have to get to some assurance, direct or indirect, by word or deed.
Yes.
Now, if he meant by that I will stop the bombing when you reinstitute the DMZ, that's all right. Now, a lot of people are interpreting that way. On the other hand, he wants the doves to think that he'd stop it without anything. And I don't know really what he means. He says he means the former, but I notice the backgrounders, the people that on his train talk to him, say, well, that he really means that he wants this to be a split from the policy. So I really honestly don't know. I think that he says that there are two other conditions. We say that the government of Vietnam, we can't sell them out like Chamberlain sold out to Czechoslovakia. We say they've got to sit at the table, and we'd be glad for the other side to have the NLF sit if they want to. But he says, yes, he means that when he says negotiate in good faith. Well, he doesn't say it. And if he means it, then that's all right. And we've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Then finally, the third thing is we couldn't negotiate very long if they started shelling the cities and we couldn't bomb them back. like they did at Tet when they got us to stop bombing there. Then they went in and started shelling Saigon, killed thousands of people. Well, we'd have to start bombing if they started doing that. So we've told them that, and we've told them, now, we're not going to stop bombing if you're going to start shelling the cities, because we just have to start it again, and it just mislead the world. He says, well, that's right. But that he covered all that in good faith, have to do it in good faith. Now, the press likes to play up our differences so much. I counted this morning, I've said 15 or 20 times since 1965, that no one can tell when the war will end and when we'll bring our boys home. But we're going to stay there as long as I'm president, rather than surrender. And now I said that down in New Orleans, and they said that was a slap at Humphrey. I'd said the same thing in Detroit 2 weeks before Humphrey said anything, and they didn't consider it a slap. I've said it 15 times, no one can tell. Now, he starts predicting they're going to do it in 69, so they interpret that as a slap. Now, on this, we're going to try to keep from getting in an argument with him. On the other hand, Ball is a very dovish fella, kind of the Adlai Stevenson. And you saw what Adlai Jr. did out there to Daley after this thing. And I just don't know how he will go. We're going to just say, well, we don't interpret presidential speeches if he means that he would stop the bombing if they would agree to establish the DMZ, well, that's good. But we're not going to interpret it. I don't know what the Republicans are going to do. I would think that if they get in a debate, as far as the men in the service are concerned, everybody, Nixon's going to look pretty good. His position is that can't be but one president at a time, and the Joint Chiefs and the Secretary of State, Ambassador Bunker and General Abrams, and they're all unanimous on this thing, Secretary Clifford, and that he is not going to try to second-guess them. If Humphrey then is on the other side and he's a part of the administration, and he starts taking the other side in the debate, I think it could just be murder. As a matter of fact, here's something you ought to take down and analyze. You're the best politician I know, and you and Rayburn, and I miss talking to you, but here's the poll this last week. 43% for Nixon. I just write that down, 43%. 21% for Wallace. Now that's 64%. Now, Wallace has been coming up from 10% when I got out of the race up to 21. He's picked up 11%. Now, Humphrey's got 28%. Now, there's only 8% undecided. Now, the way I see it, if you got all the 8 undecided, if they were all McCarthyites, if they were all super-duper ADAers, and he got all of them and held everything he's got. Part of his 28's good Southern fellas. But if he held them all and got all the McCarthyites, he'd have 8% to 28. That'd be 36. Now, he has got to get some of Nixon's 43 or some of Wallace's 21 to get in this race. Now, I don't believe those 43 or 21 are going to be appealed to by not knowing how a fella stands on Vietnam. I don't believe they're soft folks. I think these boys make a lot of noise, and they raise a lot of hell, and they do a lot of picketing, and they got New York Times with them. But honestly, when the full Nixon has been pretty firm, and he's still got 43. Wallace is pretty firm, he got 21, that's 64%. Now, you got to get some of those firm people away from him, and I don't believe you can get them with a Dove speech. Now, you can study that yourself, and figured out, I'd be interested in your reaction. I may be completely wrong, but what do you think?
Well, the way I thought, I kept talking to people this way, Democrats. I said, there's no justification for any Democrat not voting for Humphrey and Muskie. I said, on everything in foreign affairs, you agree with the administration except South Vietnam. Then I said, there's several divergent views on South Vietnam, but there's no reason why anyone, even those who want immediate withdrawal or anything else, shouldn't vote for Humphrey and Nixon, who are a Democrat or a progressive, Because the Republican plank is just as strong, if not stronger, than the Democratic plank.
That's
so one offsets the other. Now, you should come back to domestic affairs and talk progressive government, which
that's
is
right.
the party of progress.
That's right.
That's the broad scope that I take.
Well,
I think the Republicans to hell. I gave them hell the other night over the Wayman building. I just take the record and show on these important votes that the breakdown of the Republican and Democratic votes on the important votes, how overwhelmingly they voted against and so forth. But on foreign affairs, the Republican plank, I say to these fellows, no reason why you shouldn't vote Democratic. You have no justification. The Republican plank is just as strong, if not stronger.
I agree with that. Now, how do you interpret his speech? How, when you heard it, did you think he would stop the bombing without conditions?
No,
or
I don't. I don't. I really. They sent me over a copy of it. I got it about 15 minutes before he went on the air. So I had a chance and I listened to him. I would say that he dressed it up in semantics, a little different, but I would say that there was no departure from your basic policy.
Well, I think that's the way we got to.
That was my interpretation, because
okay.
he used semantics, and I suppose that you can't blame him for that.
No, I'm for him doing anything he can.
And as I analyzed him, I didn't see any basic difference, because the line there, and he simply said there'd be no unilateral withdrawal, and there'd be no communist-imposed government, coalition government, because you and I know what the hell that means in a year. That means a communist government.
I'll be talking to you, and you tell him to get barefoot, and I'll be waiting to see him.
All right.